Stephen Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about doing deals with a full-time 70-hour-a-week job. This is inspired by a true story, a true member story.
And it wasn't us.
It's inspired by a true story and embellished upon, as always.
Well, you know what's funny, though? I think he did use those terms. No, I think he did say it really was 70 hours a week. No, it wasn't embellished at all.
That part's not embellished at all.
No. But
of course, we're
going to
tell our silly stories, because when we started all this stuff a lot of years ago, we had jobs just like that, too.
I know. I've had that, and I've struggled with that. It's almost like, even thinking like college days, like, you know,
yeah,
you feel like that when you're cramming for a final. Like, oh, am I going to get it all done? So
you know,
I have some ideas.
And then throughout the years, Jill and I have found ourselves in this situation where we're working 70 hours a week.
Yeah.
So we have to reel it back in, too.
That's
seriously
true.
It's if you have this personality type, you take stuff on like this.
Mm-hmm.
But we're getting into the show.
Okay.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Ellis asks, how do you guys handle areas that are completely saturated with investors already? If everyone else is there, obviously it's a good county/market to invest in. Do you jump in right alongside everyone else and mail to those same properties again? If so, do you get fewer signed offers? Do you target different size properties? I've been hitting and missing with these counties quite a bit lately. And I'm trying not to waste too much more money on mail.
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. Very valid concern and well put. I avoid competition.
Yeah.
You know, we've got, 300 or so members in our group. I think seriously active ones are around 50% of that. And then, but I know the really, really successful ones that I'm in contact with, because we do deals together and funding and stuff, are not where you think they are. They're not
right in,
I'll just
those
reel
places
off a few counties. They're not in Costilla County, Colorado. They're not in Mojave County, Arizona. Most of us are long past that.
Right.
So while those counties are great to cut your teeth on, and they're great, you will generally buy property in those counties. You're not going to quit your job and support a family just on those really tiny deals. And I'm not picking on those counties. You just need to think bigger, and you need to think more like Land Academy 2.0.
I look at it like there's people out there that think that there's special secret counties that are great and they're gold and you should always just go there. And I think that's what happens with some of these counties. People get like, oh, I should only buy in this county. And what's a bummer is that it is busy and frustrating. And I think part of it is those people don't know how to go outside of the bubble.
That's,
you know what I mean?
Think.
And you, Ellis, I'm hoping you're a member. If not, when you are a member, we'll teach you, Stephen will teach you how to get outside the bubble.
Yeah.
And really what to look for. And once you know what triggers to look for, yeah, what's a good county, you know, what is the level of number of properties versus available properties, that kind of a thing, versus the tax situation, all of those factors, then you won't even worry about it.
It's a valid concern, like I said. Mm-hmm. In Land Academy 2.0, you should be pitting close by zip codes against each other, and by submitting them into this red, green, yellow spreadsheet that all comes with the program, and find out which one's the best. So, I mean, there's 12,000 zip codes, I think, in this country, and 3,144 counties, like 274 in Texas alone. So, and 150 million properties. That's the raw data. So, especially, you know, and especially with now that we're going to release House Academy here in a few months,
mm-hmm,
I mean, there's no competition.
Right.
You know where the competition comes from? You know, Jill, please don't kick me under the desk here. It comes from other people who talk about this and teach this.
That's what I was going to say.
Say that there's secret counties.
That's what I was kind of alluding to.
And they say that there's like 12 counties that you really should be doing.
Start here.
It's just silly.
That's my favorite is, let's leave those alone. Let's let those people have that, and they can all just keep going around in circles over there. We're all over here. We're in the rest of the country.
That's exactly right. And then, not to mention, there's industrial property, commercial property, and all kinds of other stuff.
Yep.
You know, that we've been involved in for a long time, and we will release those programs as we go here. But
don't worry about it.
So the answer, directly answer your question, and this is actually a big topic for us. So it's a big FAQ for us around here. Please avoid the top 12 counties that other people who think that they teach this correctly, how to buy and sell rural vacant land. Just avoid them.
Yep.
That's it. We're very quickly here, within days, going to launch a newer version of Land Academy 1.0, and this directly gets addressed, which is why I chose this question. There's a lot of questions on land investors, but I chose this one specifically to address this because it's changed a little bit since 2015 when we released the first one.
Yep.
But it's topic, doing deals with a full-time 70-hour job. This is the meat of the show. This was a topic that was inspired by a real member and a very successful member who just got a promotion. Congratulations, Tony.
Yep.
And Jill said, you know, we should just make this a topic and kind of talk about it because it's something that most people struggle with if you have a type A personality, like probably everybody listening to this.
And or have a very demanding job. Let's just say, whatever it was, Tony told us on a member call, like, hey guys, I just got promoted and it's kicking my ass. Can I say that?
Yeah, why not?
Well, I did. So anyway, so Tony said that.
It's not like anybody really edits this.
Right, exactly. So Tony's like, can we talk about that? And I'm like, yeah, that's true. That happens. You know, and I came up with some good things, to help you with this. So do you have something you want to add? Do you want me to jump right in?
Okay. I think this is made for you because you're a very, very good time manager.
Thank you.
For your age.
I'm like, that's not what you said before. Wait a minute.
You know what the truth is?
That's not what I recall.
You are a really good time manager, Jill.
Thank you.
I'm just compulsive about it.
Thank you.
So when you line both of us up together, it's like, yeah.
Thank you.
And well, I mean about me, not you.
Thank you. So first thing I was going to say, though, I had something funny, too, though. Don't you wish we had NZT?
Yeah.
This would solve it. So as I was writing notes on the show, I have two points I want to touch on, and I have hopefully some solutions or some things to help. But I thought, you know, NZT would solve this whole problem.
Yeah.
That I remember watching that movie and going, remember you and I at the movie, both, this was what was so funny. So at the end of the movie,
the movie's called Limitless.
Yeah.
With Bradley Cooper.
Yeah. And it's this drug called NZT, if you haven't seen the movie, that gives you this energy and this memory and sharpness that you could do anything.
It taps into all your brain power.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's always ever heard, you know, we're only using like 5% of our brain power.
It dumps it to like 80% or something crazy. So he's like...
And there's huge side effects, of course.
Of course.
But
so
eventually becomes a president.
Right. And then what's so cool is, though, at the end of the movie, you know, it's supposed to make... It makes you think, right? So in the movie, we both were walking out of the theater and we're like... So that was the question. We both said, okay, let's see what we'd say. Would you do it? What, you know, we each asked each other and we both like 1, 2, 3, we were like, yes, I would do it. The having the extra brain power, we both voted was worth the side effects.
I mean,
we
all agree that drugs in general make you dumber.
Right.
And they make you more tired and the vast majority of them.
Right.
I mean, there's arguments for all this stuff, but I think...
But
the long-term effect of just about any street drug and the vast majority, if not all, prescription drugs are the long-term effect of all of it is bad.
Okay, that's not where I'm going, Mr. Public Service Announcement.
I just want a good drug.
Don't do
Isn't
drugs,
kid. Is there a good drug somewhere?
That's not where I was going with this.
A good drug that has good long-term effects.
Makes you
going? Smarter.
Well, I'm going to throw in the public service announcement. Don't do drugs. That's not what this is about. That was movie magic. Okay, so now I'm going to talk about the real meat of the show.
All right, Hollywood.
So, silly. So here's what I was going to say. This happens, and I've talked to a lot of members like this, like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? I have a full-time job. So there's two things you got to think about. One is you're mentally drained. That's one issue. And the other one is limited time. So I have three things to talk about for each one, three ideas to help everyone.
Well, good.
Thank you. And may I say them,
You're
please?
You're doing all the work here. I
am.
It. Thank you.
Unless you're going to talk about drugs or something.
I can bring drugs back.
No, we don't need to. Okay, so if you're mentally drained, one thing that I want to make sure you're doing is, and we do this with ourselves, and I even do this, Stephen doesn't know this, but when I see it coming, I do this for him. And one is, take care of yourself as best you can. And by that, I mean, are you eating right and getting enough sleep? And there's times that I watch him and I watch myself and I can see us getting mentally drained. I'm like, all right, I do.
I'm like the nicest girl there ever was.
Thank you.
I mean it.
Thank you.
That's like true love.
Thank you very much. I do that.
It's been a lot of years and I never knew that even that crossed your mind.
Yeah, I do. And so, and I'm making sure that we're getting sleep, we're taking it easy if we need, we have a lot coming up, making sure we have food. There's good food. Sometimes just, and if Steven's in a mood, I kind of like put food under the table and under the door and run. But at least I make sure. Slide it in the door and run. He's grumpy. He's hungry. He doesn't know it yet.
Under the door. You know, that's awesome.
But under the cell door. I'm just kidding. Office door.
Under the door implies that I have my own space.
You do have your own space.
But, okay. That's for another topic.
Okay. But anyway, so that's number one. Make sure you're trying to take care of yourself. Number two, mental breaks. And you're good at this. I've seen you do this. And a mental break is sometimes you have to remove yourself from what you're doing. I know you're deep in a project, but you have to come up for air now and then. And I want you to maybe read something for even just a few minutes. Take your mind off it. Watch a movie, go to a movie, watch part of a movie. I don't know. Take a break. I've watched you, and I think it's really good, and you haven't done it in a while. I've come up to your office and seen you playing a video game.
Yeah.
And I know that that's good. That's a good mental break.
Yep.
Take yourself out of whatever you're doing, clear your head, and then you can go back in. So that's a good thing to help with mental breaks.
You know how I do that for you? Because I know when you flip your lid, it's drag you to dinner.
Yeah.
Even when you don't want to go.
And you're covering them all.
Split a bottle of wine or whatever.
Yeah. It takes me all out of the muck.
Yeah.
A glass of wine helps everything.
That's what I think.
So, and you got to clear your head. So, and that was, and you know, it's good. So that's number three, which is my thing is watch yourself and know when to call it. Because if you keep pushing, you don't take care of yourself, you're not taking mental breaks, you're going to start making bad decisions. So you kind of got to watch yourself and know at the end of the day, like, all right, I'm obviously now I'm, because you do that, you'll start going, uh-oh, now I'm picking the wrong properties, I'm not investing, I'm not looking at the right things, oh my gosh, I'm starting to make mistakes now, oh, I didn't check the taxes, I didn't check the access, something like that, you start making, maybe potentially making a bad decision, so you've got to know when to just cut it off.
Yeah.
Even if you think that, I can't stop now, I have to get through all these, you know what, it's better that you cut it off and not make those bad decisions. So those are my three things to help if you're mentally drained. So do you want to add to that before I go to the other one?
Do you have another one?
I have limited time is next.
Oh, go ahead.
So, okay. So now that addresses that point. Now you're the realistic point, which is physical limited time. And I know you have a different spin on this.
Oh, that was what I was going to say.
Okay.
Oh, good. This is good. I don't have to do anything on this whole episode.
I really spent some time on this. This is important to me. This is on the inspiration side of the sheet.
Okay.
So thank you.
It really is.
Thank you. That's why. And this is why we're good together. You are really good at the drill down into it, and I'm making sure all these other things are moving smoothly. So okay. So now you physically have limited time. So what do you do? So I said number one. I'm looking at my notes here. So. I want you to try to create a schedule as best you can with extra time in the AM and the PM. And
this is for, real quick.
Right. This is for you're working a full-time job and you're trying to build up your investment company on the side. I need you to try to carve out some time. What were you going to add?
Let's do some math along the lines of what Jill's saying.
Okay.
Let's just say it's not 70 hours, it's 80 hours a week.
Right.
That's 16 hours a day, 5 days
right.
a week. So 16 hours a day, you have to have 8 hours of sleep. That's 24 hours. You have no time for yourself.
Right.
You either work or sleep, work or sleep. I watched on a personal note, watched my mother do this and die when she was 64 years old. So that's all she did was work and sleep.
Aww.
And she loved her job. Truly, she was a psychologist, and she loved her job.
Yeah.
I mean, she would pack in as many appointments as she could, go to bed, and come back. When we went to her funeral, everybody that worked with her literally didn't have a key to that place because nobody ever opened or locked up at the end of the day or the
she
beginning
of the day. She was always the first one there and the last one to leave.
Yeah, so working 80 hours a week and sleeping, 6 hours a night. There's study after study after study that says you can't.
You're not going to be your best self.
I grew up in an environment where everybody bragged about it. Oh, I need 4 or 5 hours of sleep is fine. No, it's just not physiologically. It's going to kill you.
Exactly.
And then, so let's say you whittle it down to 60 hours a week, and now you have 4 or 5 hours yourself before sleeping. You better not have a family. You better not have any yard work to do or any type of social life in any way, because you've got to spend, like Jill just said, 4 or 5 hours or 3 or 4 hours a day turning your head off and doing something else, hopefully getting on a treadmill or whatever. So
yeah,
that was to complete your point there.
Thank you.
The math doesn't work.
Right. You tied into, I want you to carve out time, but I want you to carve out the right time and not too much time to coincide with what you're saying. Yep. And I want you to let your family in on this too, by the way. If you're starting this investment company on the side, you have a real serious job going on, and you have a wife and kids, you need to let them know what you're doing. And we have done this, and I've done this for the kids too. Like, okay, mommy's doing a big project right now. I love you all. We might be eating out a little bit right now, or, there may be a few little changes. I love you, all, and I'm still going to make time for you when you need me, but here's what's going on. And we do it with each other. Like, right now, doing a program. Right now, we're finishing up, and I know you're getting ready for House Academy. I'm ready for it. I know it's coming. I know you're going to be busy a little bit.
Yeah.
You might be some times that we're not going out as much, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You need to go to bed early, wake up fresh. You got a big project. Big deal. We'll catch up. It's totally fine. I'm all good. So, but we need to talk about it and make sure we're all on the same page. And like when I slide food under the door, seriously, that would be the time that you could say, hey, babe, look, I got this great thing I'm going on. I'm going to be in my office all day Sunday picking out a county.
Yeah,
it's going to be great.
That.
Do you mind making me a sandwich or, something like that? And I'm sure everybody would be like,
good for you.
Yeah, exactly. Just let the person know. Don't get mad at them because I'm not bringing them a sandwich too, by the way. Ask, let them know what's going on and include them with everything. And then my third point about this is, you're working the full-time job, got everything going on, the family's on board, but there's stuff that they can't do. Sub out those tasks. Now might be the time to, if you're mowing your own lawn, let's sub that out. Get someone else to take care of some of the minor errands.
Absolutely.
And then on a business level, maybe there's pulling some data, some of the things that you need, spreadsheets filled out, taxes populated for something like that. Things that aren't thinking that you don't
Absolutely.
Need to do, sub some of that out.
That was my whole final point.
All good.
This is awesome, love.
Thank you. Look how we're on the same page.
In the live event and in 2.0, I do a chapter called Chasing Zero.
Yeah.
And here's the whole point to Chasing Zero. There's all kinds of stuff. I watch people do this and I've been cracking up my whole life about watching people do stuff that's unnecessary.
Right.
Like, if you buy a big house, if you're a young couple or a young person, and for whatever reason you choose to go buy a big house way out in the suburbs, here's what you have to look forward to: a tremendous amount of maintenance, a tremendous amount of yard work, a tremendous amount of expense that you haven't budgeted, ridiculous commutes to wherever your job is,
right,
and on and on and on. You should instead be chasing zero, especially if you're young. You should be living in a one bedroom apartment, or better yet, a three or four bedroom house with 15 other people, so your rent's like $12. And you don't have anything to do, and nobody cares that you're cleaning anything, and there's no cleaning lady or any of that. Get rid of all the stuff, including people in your life that are stopping you from what you want to do. Mark Cuban has a book about this whole topic, and he's
that's for the young, the 20-year-old, not for the 40-year-old.
Okay, so if you're 30 or 40,
and you have a wife and kids.
You have a wife and two kids. They're going to have to be on board, like Jill says, and you're going to have to say these 6 or 8 hours on Sunday for the next 6 months to 12 months. I have to do this because then we'll have the rest of our lives to spend together.
Exactly.
And you have to present it that way and follow through. And the other benefit to that is it's in your head now.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, I don't want to let my kids down. They're still really, really small. I'll tuck them in every night, but when they're 8 or 9, I can take them out on a boat and drive them to school every day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're all working for here.
Right.
And time management.
Or just to get rid of that job.
Time management's imperative.
Yep.
But Look, please don't get inspired by this and quit your job.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying at all. You know, everybody that, every single person that in this group that I've had fortunate experience of talking to about this topic, they all said some version of this, and it's true with both of us. Man, I should have quit my job a year ago. I wanted to make sure.
That's good. You should do that.
So the whole point here is it's possible to have a 70 or 80 hour work week. Let's say 70, 60 or 70, especially on the weekends. But you can't do it forever, and you have to have a plan to get out of that.
Exactly. Thank you.
Join us next time where we discuss minor in possession of real estate.
This is going to be funny. And we answer your questions posted on our online community, landinvestors.com. It's free.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
I had a lot to say about that. You know what I'm going to do too? This whole topic. I'm like making
minor in possession?
No.
Oh, I do too. Yeah.
No, the topic we just covered.
Yeah, I agree.
Because that was really good. I'm really glad that Tony brought that up, because that, it's important.
Tony has a finance background, and I have a finance accounting background, and we have a lot in common, and I know what he's doing, and he's going to be fine.
Oh, yeah. But it's hard right now.
That's right.
I get it.
But that whole industry's like that.
Oh,
it's
I get it.
Same thing with like large law firms.
Exactly.
They use you. They use you until you're half dead.
Isn't it amazing?
When you're young.
It's amazing how much that we did all at one time to get us here right now. Sometimes I look back and like, I don't know if I had that, if I have that. I probably do, but
I'm going to ask you a personal question.
Ready.
Was it worth it?
Heck yeah.
Awesome answer. Me too. I wouldn't do a damn thing.
You silly. I love it. Wherever you are listening or watching, please subscribe and rate us there.
Oh, sorry. I missed my line.
That's okay.
We are Steve and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.